In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Virgin most pure, Mother most chaste, Saint Joseph, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let me be the first one to wish you a blessed and happy new year. As the church always begins its liturgical, you might say, celebration of the new year by always reconsecrating and consecrating this new year to Our Lady by celebrating the first day of the new year on her solemnity of the Mother of God. And if you listen to the Divine Office that we did before Mass and during the readings today, you hear a lot of the Virgin Mother, her virginity and her maternity. This great sign, which we heard so much about in the days of Advent, which would point out to us the Virgin Mother, the Mother who was ever virgin but yet fruitful, would be the great sign that would point out to us who Emmanuel is, God with us. And it is important that God give us this sign, because the only way we could recognize His Son is the Son of God is if there is some miraculous sign that indicates Him to us, and that sign, of course, is His Virgin Mother. We know that, as we have up there in our windows, the burning bush of the Old Testament was seen as a type of Our Lady's divine maternity, that she was, like the bush, was burning and on fire but not consumed. So Our Lady was a mother but yet still a virgin. And this is the thing that would always, you might say, be a source of stumbling block for those who would not recognize this as a miracle. Even today, you might say, scientists are always thinking that they can explain everything. And I saw a video not some time ago on Eucharistic miracles. And one of the Eucharistic miracles was that some blood appeared in an ablution bowl when they went to dissolve a host that had been left on the, they found it on the floor of the church. And so the priest put it in the ablution bowl for it to dissolve so he could dispose of it properly, because he didn't want someone to consume it. He thought it should be dissolved in water, and then he would dispose of it once it was no longer the appearance or the accidents of bread. But instead, this blood appeared in the ablution pole, and they took it to scientists, and they said, well, it is such and such type blood, and it's this and that, and it's still living. It's not blood that is past its, still has oxygen in it or whatever. And so scientists thought, well, let's examine the DNA, because, you know, everything's into DNA these days. And so when they went to examine the DNA, it's as if God put a veil over it. They can't see the DNA. It's as if there's fog there. They can't see past, as if God's saying, you can't go any farther. You have to use faith to believe. And science can't prove it, and science shouldn't need to know. You should have faith. And even when they went to examine the DNA of the blood that is in the miracle Lanciano, the Eucharistic miracle there, the same thing. They can't see the DNA. God is wanting to keep that mystery forever until we get to heaven, to understand that Our Lady, as we hear in the liturgy, it says that in the office of reading said that the angel said that the child will be born from her, not born in her, to show that everything that God would take for His human nature, He would take from His mother. It wasn't going to come from outside somewhere. That's why even we hear in the gospel today, at the end, it says, when 8 days were completed for His circumcision, He was named Jesus, the name given Him by the angel before He was conceived in the womb. And as I have said many times, that this passage, this phrase, conceived in the womb, only appears twice in all of sacred scripture, and it's in the Gospel of Luke. And Luke, we know, was a doctor by profession. And he was inspired by the Holy Spirit when he wrote that, and that he chose to say that expression, conceive in your womb, conceive in the womb. And that expression is never used anywhere else in the Old Testament or New Testament in any way in reference to a conception of a child, only twice, and it has to do with the conception of our Lord. To show that just as our Lord didn't open the womb when he entered in, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that he was made, that Our Lady was made fruitful, so it was no need for the womb to be opened. And so the conception took place within the womb, in a closed womb. And likewise, he would issue forth from that womb while it still remained closed, that he would not disturb Our Lady's virginity, because that was to be the great sign, and that he wanted to preserve her virginal integrity to symbolize Our Lady's great virginal purity and integrity of her body and soul, the Immaculate Conception, that virginal, pristine human nature that she has and will always have will never be disturbed, will be left in its way in which God intended, as a great sign to us. And so today, as we, on this first day of the year, we call to mind these great mysteries, and especially this mystery of the Virgin Mother, that we realize that God has left this sign for us because he loves us. He wants us to realize how great is the Mother of God. And we can never fathom that, St. Maximian Kolbe says, that mystery. What does it mean to be the Mother of God? Only God knows the fullness of that mystery. You have to be God to understand and comprehend fully the divine maternity. But he has left us this mother that is not only his mother, but he's also made her our mother. For we hear, that from the cross our Lord said to John, "Behold your mother." And so we must once again, maybe on this first day of the year, reconsecrate ourselves and take her into our home like the faithful disciple, like the disciple whom Jesus loved, whom John represented there at the foot of the cross. It seems to me that that's what we need to do individually and collectively as a church, is to take again and once again renew our consecration and our dedication, whatever word you want to use, our complete abandonment and gift of ourselves to Our Lady. We must do that every year and every day, for it's the only way we're going to achieve our salvation, as St. Maximian Kolbe says, in the surest, easiest, and quickest way. And the liturgy and the church's liturgical celebration wants to point that out. First day of the new year, who do we call to mind? The Mother of God, on the eighth day of the octave of Christmas, to show that the Virgin Mother is always going to be there with her child, the divine child, Jesus. And that just as our Lord came into the world and became the Son of Man by becoming the Son of Mary, and the two persons who were involved in that, and our Lord becoming the Son of Man in the Incarnation, was the Holy Spirit, the divine person, and Our Lady, the human person. Those two cooperated, worked together for that great mystery, the Incarnation, to take place. And since we celebrate towards the end of the octave of Christmas, the divinization of man becoming and sharing in the divine nature, man can only become a son of God by adoption if he has those two persons involved, the Holy Spirit and the Blessed Virgin Mary. Those two are involved in that work in each and every one of us. That we became a son of God, a child of God, it is to be attributed to the working of the Holy Spirit and his spouse, the Immaculate Virgin Mother of God. And so therefore, the church in its liturgy doesn't want us to forget the importance of the Virgin Mother for us individually or for the church. And in these times in which we live, which seem to be times in which evil has reared its ugly head and is trying to persecute the church and the faithful, we need to turn to her even more so. If we want peace in the world, the only way we're going to have peace is if we once again turn to Our Lady, the Blessed Virgin Mary. In his book, John Sr., the famous Catholic professor at Kansas University who converted so many students at the University of Kansas to Catholicism, and all he taught them was history, but he taught them history according to the true meaning of history. And one of those converts is now the Bishop of Lincoln, Nebraska, Bishop James Conley, who received his faith and was converted because he went to a secular university and attended his class. And John Sr. writes in his book, The Darkness of Egypt, he says that the Blessed Virgin Mary is the key to the reordering and the renewal of society. And if he said, because it's always been the case, when the barbarians invaded Rome, and you know the society, that the high society that the Roman civilization was, and it was brought down, and the barbarians invaded, you know, and they thought, wow, you know, there goes all of the things that the church hoped for, you know, that they would be able to build upon that civilization. Instead, Our Lady and devotion to the Mother of God helped domesticate those barbarians. It's through devotion to Our Lady that the men learn to be gentlemen, learn to be knights, and that the women learn to be virgins and mothers through devotion to the Mother of God. And today, we need that same Blessed Mother to teach and educate the new pagans that have been brought up because they haven't been catechized or received the faith. And we need her again to domesticate and to civilize the new pagans that are with us today, the neo-barbarians. And we need to also ask her to help us to be those instruments, to be those witnesses, that we can be her help in doing that and accomplishing that work. Because Our Lady is going to use us for that work if we just let her, if we give ourselves to her totally and completely. So today, let us, on this first day of the year, thank God for this great gift that he has given to us in the Blessed Virgin Mary, and to thank him for making his mother our mother, and to reconsecrate ourselves to her as the way in which we can give her the greatest and most perfect form of thanks. As Father Neubert says, that the greatest and most perfect form of hyperdulia, that is devotion to the Mother of God, is total consecration to her. True devotion, true and total devotion is consecration to her. And we all should want to give to Our Lady, our Mother, that perfect and highest form of praise and honor by consecrating ourselves to her. And doing so because Jesus was the first to do so, who gave himself totally to her in becoming her child. And I heard in a tape that our Lord reveled in that title. He always referred to himself as the Son of Man. Why did he refer to himself as the Son of Man? Because in becoming a Son of Man, he became a Son of Mary. And he used, in the Gospel of Luke alone, 29 times, he referred to himself as the Son of Man. So much did he love Our Lady and love being her son, that he relished that title, Son of Man. Let us truly relish that title too, that we have all received at baptism, being sons and daughters of Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.